The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
In chapter 7, we have one of those periodic oases on the desert of sorrow and sin in the book of Revelation. When things get bleak and dark and dim, we see the Lamb of God on Mount Zion and the redeemed host in his presence. A great host which no man could number in the presence of the Lamb of God on Mount Zion, partaking of the water of life that would quench their thirst forever. In chapter 8, we read, as we begin, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Something awesome is about to be unveiled. And in chapters 8 and 9 of Revelation, God is going to pour out all kinds of affliction upon ungodly men, that they might see their ways and turn to God in repentance. Wormwood and gall, Apollyon, the angel of the abyss. All of this comes, earthquake, famine, to bear down upon evil men, that they might learn to turn to God in penitence and do his will. But you know the end result? They repented not of all their ungodliness. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. But now Jehovah God is vindicated. He's given them opportunity. He's warned them to flee from the wrath to come, but they will not do so. In chapter 10 of Revelation, we have the most interesting scene of all to me. John is told to take a little book and eat it up. Ezekiel was told that same thing back in Ezekiel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. This is the word of God, which was sweet to their taste, but bitter in their stomach, as they digested the contents and portents of God's wrath upon ungodly men. It was sweet to them to be entrusted by God to do the teaching, but when they realized it would involve and embrace even some of God's people who had compromised with the world and were now identified with the world, it made them sick to their stomach. It saddened their hearts. And every gospel preacher knows that. With a tear in your eye and a lump in your throat, you rebuke sin. And as you see folk once faithful to the Lord go back to the beggarly elements of the world, return to the pollutions of the earth, Galatians 4, 2 Peter 2, it grieves you. But John gets into the act. He is viewing this. Now he is a participant. What if you'd gone to a stage play and all of a sudden someone leave the stage and come out to you and tell you to get into the act, play this part? Well, that was John, and he was challenged in chapter 10 of Revelation. In chapter 11, we borrow a scene from the book of Zechariah. Take a measuring reed and measure the people of God. He said, just measure the temple of God. Don't worry about the court of the Gentiles. Forget about the world. Put the measuring standard of God's truth beside God's people. And if they don't measure up to it, they're in the world and they're going to be destroyed with the world. This was a warning of compromising with the Roman Empire. In Revelation chapter 12, John sees a brilliant, blazing scene never to be forgotten. John, what do you see on the stage of life? I see the devil trying to throw the Lord out of heaven. He's crawled up into heaven and having a wrestling match with the Lord. It looks like he's going to win. But all of a sudden, he's cast down to the earth. The devil does not gain the ascendancy over Christ. Jesus entered the strong man's house and spoiled his goods, Mark 3:27. Now is the prince of this world cast out, Jesus said concerning his death, John 12:31. And through his death, his sinless life and death, he destroyed the power of the devil over death, Hebrews 2:14-17. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But we learn here of the boldness, the effrontery of the devil trying to cast the Lord out of heaven in this imagery, this scene, this figurative teaching which John beheld, which illustrates the truth that the devil is powerful and tenacious, but never as strong as the Lord. And if we identify with the Lord and hold to his unchanging hand, heaven will be our home. In chapter 13, the devil, who was not able to destroy Christ, now empowers two emissaries, the beast of the sea and the beast of the land, false religion and restless, fomenting materialism to try to beguile the hearts and lives of Christians. And sometimes it works. Sometimes we bow the knee to Baal. We compromise, and thus we're lost. And sometimes the devil wins temporary skirmishes, but he never wins the ultimate battle. That's the whole point of Revelation. And then in chapter 14, one more time, the Lamb of God on Mount Zion, the redeemed host with him, they have followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. No harm can befall them. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And then in chapter 15, the redeemed host sings the song of Moses and the Lamb. Those delivered in Old Testament days and those in new are there because of the blood of Christ. Deliverance through a troubled sea of sin and self and Satan. Chapter 16, Armageddon is mentioned. Not the Battle of Armageddon. That phrase isn't in the Bible. Armageddon is mentioned as a place in Old Testament days where wars were held. And the very mention of the name Armageddon conjures in the mind of the faithful Bible student that sometimes the devil won temporary battles. For instance, the good King Josiah was killed there. But also Saul defeated the Philistines there. And Deborah and Barak did. And also here Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So there will be a struggle. And the devil has power. But not the power Christ does if we hold on to the Lord. But if we compromise, the devil will snap us up and own us as his very own, and we'll be forever lost. And then in chapter 17, again we read of the Lamb of God. But we also read of the great harlot, that ancient city of Rome that captivated the people of God, and in great sensuality overwhelmed many of them. In chapters 18 and 19, the beast of the sea and the beast of the land and all that worship and serve them. In this imagery, this dramatic, figurative lesson, are overthrown. And a great judgment day, the sickle of judgment comes, and the Word of God personified, the Lamb of God with the Word of God, the sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth, comes to slay in judgment those who will feast with birds of prey instead of in the marriage feast of the Lamb of God. In chapter 20, the devil is bound. Truth has the ascendancy, and every time men teach the truth and preach the truth and someone obeys the truth, the devil is bound, the devil is hindered. One day there'll be a universal judgment day and there'll not be a gospel of the second chance. And if our name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, we're lost. This is the second death. But in chapters 21 and 22, we close in the finale of Revelation and the end of the whole New Testament and of the Bible, the victory for the saints of God. On the golden street, where there's just constant sunshine, no darkness, no temple, the Lord God Almighty is all the temple and all the light we need. There's no sickness, sadness, separation, death, just one eternal blissful day. And also we read, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Paradise lost through Adam and Eve. Paradise regained through Christ. What we lost in Adam, we gain in Christ. And when we obey the Lord, we walk once more in the paradise of God, the garden of God, where everything is blissful and harmonious between the Creator and the creature. Whosoever will, let him come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Old Testament said Christ is coming. The first part of the New Testament said Christ has come. And the last line of the Bible says he's coming again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We've learned of the life of Christ, how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life, and the hope of a Christian, the victory, the triumph we have in Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise be to God for his marvelous story of redemptive love.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.